Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
And now joining us with our pre-opening commodity market report here on AM 580 is our Director of Agriculture Programming, Dave Dickey. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called mostly from $1 to $2 per hundredweight lower on ample supplies and slow demand heading into the Labor Day holiday weekend and next week's short work week. Terminals are called flat to lower in a very, very light volume test. Our prices from around $50 on a live basis after falling $8 to $10 already this week. Peoria is called flat to lower with a top price of $50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, August 28th, negotiated swine purchases were 11,363 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was 67.25 to 75.99. The weighted average 72.48 on a live basis. Barrels and gilt sold from 50.25 to 62.67. The weighted average 56.72. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $14,069, the base price range $67 to $74.66, the weighted average $70.97. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $52 to $60, the weighted average $55.82. Joining us now with a look at the weekend, the long 3-day weekend agricultural weather outlook is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser and Ed.
Oilfields. China needs energy for its fast-growing economy.
Second.
Yes.
Sometimes when you're back the first day, you just forget a button here or there. Before I let you go and talk about the weekend forecast, just a quick observation, if I may. I've been to 4 Farm Progress shows now, Ed, the last 4. And the only one where it didn't rain was the one on the permanent streets of Decatur last year.
Okay. It was hot there, too.
It was very hot there. Over 100 degrees in the tents that particular year. I just found it a little, I don't know if ironic is the word or interesting is the word, but if the streets aren't paved, it rains. At least that's my experience.
Well, in your days, we've had a few dry ones in the past. It hasn't rained every single time, but yeah, certainly the ones you've been a part of, it's become a mud mess. And it's pretty fun when it doesn't rain and it's not 100 degrees. So maybe next year in Decatur, it'll be dry and the temperature more tolerable. Some rain was needed, that's for sure.
Yes, it was.
Go ahead. Rainfall has been all over the place. As we've been saying the last couple of days, there would be showers and thunderstorms, but not everybody would get the rain. In Illinois, so far, according to the COCORAS network, that's a community collaborative rain, hail, and snow network, as much as 2.5 inches in Henderson County, about 4 miles south-southwest of Stronghurst, Henderson County in west-central Illinois, and nearby Macomb, 2.26, that's in McDonough County. And in Tazewell County, 1.75 inch of rain in a mile south-southeast of Morton. Also in Tazewell County, a little over 1.5 inches. In Tremont, South Jacksonville, and Morgan County, 1.5 inches. Aledo and Mercer County, 1.37. And in east central Illinois, the big winner, Broadlands, or just 0.1 miles south-southwest of Broadlands, 1.18 inches of rain fell from the storms yesterday and especially last night. We also had reports in the area, Danvers and McLean County picking up about 1 inch, Homer 7800s, Mahomet 7400s, another report near Homer of 2 miles north of Homer 7200s. In the Champaign-Urbana area, it appears that WILL is a loser. We only had 1200s overnight and 1600s total from this storm. The water survey yesterday picked up a total of 3400ths of an inch. Willard Airport, 4200ths of an inch. So there were some winners and some losers as far as rainfall is concerned. And many places to our west and south did not get any rain at all, or very little at least. I'm scrolling through the data to just tell you what's some of the lower numbers, just to give you an idea that not everybody benefited here. And a lot of places picking up only trace, including 9/10 of a mile south of Charleston. That's one report. Effingham, only a trace, or 4.6 miles north of Effingham, just to give you an idea of the other end of the extreme. Tuscola, 0.02 inch of rain. So the amounts were all over the place. The radar estimates show the best rains fell in central Illinois, in southeastern Champaign County and southern Vermilion County. So around Broadlands and just north of there, and between Homer and Allerton, and between Fairmont and Sidel, and near and north of Indianola and around Georgetown, over an inch according to radar estimates. Also a good band of rain across northern McLean County into southern Ford, far southern Iroquois, and northern Champaign and northern Vermilion County. So those are some of the farm fields that were hit. Very heavy rain yesterday in southeastern Iowa and parts of west central Illinois. What's coming? Nothing. Rainfall is going to be lacking through the holiday weekend into early next week. The next chance of rain will come later next week. Some of that will depend on where Hurricane Gustav hits and then where the moisture from that goes. It looks like initially Gustav will hit, make landfall around somewhere around Texas or Louisiana around Tuesday morning. Then the moisture will stream northward west of Illinois, but eventually may come into Illinois and Indiana later next week. So that's really the next chance of rain around here. And most of the Midwest Corn Belt will be dry over the weekend, but western parts of the Corn Belt could start picking up showers as early as Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. No frost threat, although some cooler air masses will be starting to come in around the middle of September, so we'll start thinking about that. But so far, no indications that it will be cold enough for any problems. That's the growing areas. I'm Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, let's go ahead and look at the overnight trade in Kansas City. September wheat opened at 824 and three quarters unchanged. Last trade down 4 3/4 at the Board of Trade. September 789 unchanged. Last trade down 7 1/4. December 811 unchanged, and they were down 7 1/4. September corn 5.69 3/4, down 1/4. Last trade down 2 1/2. December 5.87 1/4, down 1/2. Last trade down 2, make it 3 3/4. September beans at 13.32 1/2 unchanged. Last trade up 3 1/2. November 13.24 1/2, up 1/2. Last trade up 4 3/4. September soybean meal 3.71 up 2.40. Last trade down 60. September soybean oil 53.22 down 12. Last trade up 64. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin, as well here in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Let's go ahead and get right to it. When I looked at the technical pictures after being at the Farm Progress Show all week, I saw a market that's really sort of in a sideways pattern and not quite sure where it wants to go. Are you seeing that too, kind of a choppy sideways market?
Definitely, and I think I would use it, you know, we describe it a couple of different ways, but I call it consolidating market or a day trading market. And basically, when you see a market like that develop, it tells you that there's not enough news to really get buyers interested in buying heavily. There's also there's a lack of news that would encourage, or there's enough other news that discourages your sellers from. So it becomes a day trading market, which we've seen a lot of. You know, we'll either open up and then push down and then perhaps rebound again at the end of the day. And I expect that that's going to go on probably from now until we get maybe even into the September report, unless, of course, the cold air that they're talking about up in Canada actually does make its way down into the U.S., and then a frost scare, I think, would take us a little higher. But we'd still have a lot of resistance up at that 100-day moving average.
So what are you thinking about for calls today then, 3-day weekend ahead?
What did you say, David? I'm sorry.
There's a 3-day weekend ahead.
Well, that's the wild card here. Labor Day. That's Labor Day and Gustav. You know, where Gustav finally decides he wants to rock and roll is a good question. And of course, we all remember Katrina came in on the 29th of August that time, and so I expect that we are probably going to see a market maybe tentative about going into the into next week. Too long. It's probably going to be a spreaders market where, you know, they'll be buying and selling to protect themselves as we close out. I fully expect, with rain on the radar besides, to see a little pressure, although it's kind of ironic to see pressure in corn. And so I think that down 2 to 3 on corn probably. And up on beans, and the bean up, from what I understand, at least in everything I've read this morning, has come more because China's really kind of made a statement that they want to load up heavy on bean oil and beans prior to their holiday that comes up. And so there I see perhaps a little stability. Wheat, it'll be in the ballpark. It'll probably see some more pressure at 7 to 9 down. We look at live cattle and hogs. They're pretty mixed. All the buying for Labor Day is over.
Okay.
And now we'll just have to depend on what cash actually does.
Thank you, Jackie.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.